Gerard Mayo will tell you who his starting quarterback will be on Sunday when he joins us at 9:30 on a Mayo Monday. Right now, Boomer Esiason on a Patriots Monday, and Boomer is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services. You can find them at McFarlandEnergy.com. By Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh by Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And Boomer is also brought to you by your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Boomer, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Has the sting worn off a little bit?
We prefer to call it the horror, if that's okay. But no, it is not. Although, Patriots got to turn it around, turn the page, and get back at it and get ready for the Niners.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. The Niners, all of a sudden, I'll do something that they haven't done in a long time, and that is lose a 14-point lead late in the game to a Ram team that was a shell of itself. But that Ram team does have Matthew Stafford. That's something that the Patriots do not have.
Yeah. I mean, would you start Drake May this week? You got to see 4 minutes of him end of the game on Thursday night. Anything you saw that leads you to think Gerard Mayo might do that?
Yeah, I think it's coming close to it. I don't know if he'll do it this week. He may wait another week. I'm not sure. But as you can see, there are problems that the Patriots have on offense that we've been speaking about since the opening game. I just think that their offensive line is in tatters. They struggle with quick pass rushers. So Nick Bosa, you know, assuming he's playing, is going to have a field day. We all know that. These are situations where you sit down, you kind of take stock in what you have and whether or not you can, you can protect him. He's going to make a lot of mistakes simply because that's what rookies do, and you just want to make sure you're putting him in the right situation. But I understand the frustration for Patriot fans. They're not seeing anything out of their offense. You can't tell whether or not they have any playmakers simply because they don't really attempt to throw the ball downfield, and when they do throw the ball downfield, it's highly inaccurate. So the reason that Jacoby's playing is because he's not turning it over, and Gerard Mayo thinks that this is the way that they can actually stay in games. I agree with him, but when you see a whitewashing like you saw last Thursday, it's hard to really believe in that concept.
That offensive failure Thursday night, is that more on the offensive line, which you brought up, or on Jacoby Brissett?
It's a little bit of both. There's no question that if Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady are playing behind that group, or even Joe Burrow, if you remember when Joe Burrow went to the Super Bowl against the Rams, he had one of the worst offensive lines in the league. So the quarterback does have a huge influence in all of this, and he is supposed to rise the players around him. But in this case, you know, Jacoby is a guy that's just playing it safe. And, you know, there were a couple plays that if he were to just held on the ball for like a nanosecond and dropped it off to somebody breaking out of the backfield, he probably would have had three or four huge plays against the Jet defense that, you know, of course they were stifling and they were blitzing, but there were opportunities for big plays that Jacoby did not make.
Boomer, I've been told so many times that you don't want to ruin a rookie quarterback. So if you're Drake May and you're put in that situation and you have such a small sample size, how difficult is it if you're reliving that small, 4 minutes in your mind over and over again, if you don't see the field again, could that hurt a rookie quarterback? Could that ruin a rookie quarterback?
Now, I guess it's the psychology of the sport and the position that is so difficult to play. He is in there for mop-up duty. He's in there for to get a taste of what a real game feels like. Courtney, it's hard to evaluate that. I would imagine that, okay, I got my feet wet. I felt like what it was it's supposed to be like, and against a very good defense that, obviously knew that they had the Patriots number. I mean, there was no room to move. When you have 138 yards of total offense in a game, that's about as embarrassing as it gets. I mean, and that is about as futile as it gets. I can only hope that it didn't scar him, but it gave him kind of a understanding of what he's stepping into. I know this is going to be a discussion point the entire year with this team. Depending on when he plays and when he finally plays, do we see anything? Do we see a secondary play? Do we see a big play that comes off of a broken play? Do we see him standing in the pocket and delivering the ball where it's supposed to be delivered? I mean, there are probably, I would say, 15 to 16 quarterbacks right now that are just playing god-awful and aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing and trying to make something out of nothing pretty much on every play. And we go right down the list as to who they are. I just hope that Drake May doesn't fall into that trap.
Boomer, you would know better than anybody whether or not you can actually ruin a quarterback. I see guys like Sam Darnold that leave the Jets with a brief stop somewhere else, and he's performing well. Yeah. And then there's a guy like Zach Wilson who I think would have sucked no matter where he was. Isn't it more about the actual talent of the player than an organization's ability to ruin a good player?
Well, it's the personality of the player. Like, you guys haven't really gone through that much. I guess the last 4 years, you could say that you kind of gone through a little bit of that with Mac Jones. But I would say that, you know, the Jets have ruined a lot of players that have come through here. And the Sam Darnold situation is really unique because he sat for a year in San Francisco behind Brock Purdy and watched Kyle Shanahan run that offense, call plays, and watch Brock Purdy pretty much put an MVP performance together last year. So it's no surprise for most of us that Sam Darnold is actually having a decent year. And he's with a coach, Kevin O'Connell, who you guys know, who knows how to design plays, call plays, get guys open. And I think Sam has finally matured to the point where he's an asset for a team as opposed to a liability. So it was a mess down in Carolina for him. He goes to San Francisco and does what I would call a leap year in quarterback school and then comes back and has a former quarterback as his head coach calling plays. And he's got really good players around him, and he's not turning the ball over like he used to. And that's kind of the ingredients to be a success. So everybody's a little bit different. Even Baker Mayfield, the guy that has resurrected his career despite what happened yesterday, he's still the unquestioned leader of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and who would have thought that 3 years ago?
Speaking of organizations not giving young players a chance, Panthers have been getting phone calls about Bryce Young. You think they deal him during the season?
No, I don't. I think they'll keep him. I think maybe it's an off-season kind of thing, kind of like, you know, what San Francisco did with Trey Lance, although they had to pull the ripcord relatively quickly on that one because they knew that they had Brock Purdy. And Kyle Shanahan told Jed York that Brock Purdy was the best quarterback on the roster when Brock was a rookie third stringer. So they saw something special in Brock. So they cut their losses relatively quickly. I don't necessarily know that that's the case, but once again, it just goes to show you what happens when you do have a valuable, reasonable backup quarterback in Andy Dalton. I mean, he threw 58 passes last year against the Seattle Seahawks and almost pulled out a game, but then they put Bryce Young back in at the owner's behest. Now the owner seems to be staying out of it, and Dave Canales is grabbing hold of it. And lo and behold, they go out and they beat the Patriots. So just goes to show you just how valuable a quarterback like Andy Dalton can be in a moment like this.
The Eagles get a win yesterday, but you open up social media, you listen to Eagles fans right now, and they're pissed with Nick Sirianni. Is he a coach that could be an issue with them making it to, say, the Super Bowl or getting a win like that?
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but there's a lot of weird things that the Eagles do that don't make a lot of sense. And then after the game, I think that Nick's post-game press conferences sometimes make it worse, which is amazing to me. I mean, like, especially after you win and you win a good game the way that they won yesterday, it doesn't matter how many points you score. It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, if you come out of New Orleans, given the fact that they had scored 91 points in the first 2 weeks and you win a game, you should be celebrated. But for some reason, and I think this goes back to last year, and it goes back to last week when they pulled what they pulled at the end of the game, and it didn't work out against the Falcons. So Nick Sirianni is one of the interesting guys to watch as a coach in this league simply because that fan base is very, very restless, and they're fed up with the in-game decisions that he is making. So it's not surprising to me that the Eagle fan isn't totally happy, but they should be, especially when you beat one of the better teams in the league thus far.
Boomer, that seems to me the Eagles as the best landing spot for Bill Belichick should the Eagles move on from Sirianni. Would you feel the same way? And if not, where would you think Bill's best spot would be?
Wow. Wow, that's a good question. I was thinking Dallas.
Yeah,
I was thinking Philadelphia. I guess I'm thinking the Giants. If the Giants, if the Giants would have won 0-3 yesterday, and they actually played a really great first half. It was one of the best first halves that the Giants have played in 3 years. But the second half was all defense, and the offense kind of took a back seat to that. But I was thinking any one of those three teams. You know, Mike McCarthy is a lame duck coach right now, and he does not have a contract passed this year. And very few coaches ever find themselves in that situation. So that tells me if good old Jerry Jones doesn't get what he wants out of this team and doesn't get to the playoffs, and right now I wouldn't say that they would be an odds-on favor to make it, especially after their last two home games, that I definitely could see Jerry Jones going down that road next year. So there are plenty of places that will definitely interview, I would think, Bill Belichick, but those are three places that, you know, I would have at the top of my list.
Well, based on the Instagram Live that we saw this weekend, Jerry Jones is still involved in every aspect of the organization.
Isn't that great? I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, he's the general manager. He's the guy that, you know, he's
evaluates the talent.
I mean, all I can tell you is that, you know, there are other owners out there that are involved that never played a snap of football. At least I could say that Jerry Jones played football and actually has some modicum of understanding as to what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, no, he knows every detail about his players very well. I mean, so honestly, I give him a lot of credit for that. The Justin Fields has the Steelers at 3-0. Is that now his job to lose, even if Russell Wilson is 100%, Boomer?
I mean, do the Steelers play Steeler football or what? This is three straight weeks where the Steelers defense just absolutely decimates and dominates the opposing team. And as long as Justin Fields is not turning the ball over, and what was nice about him yesterday in the third and fourth quarters, he actually made some really, really key plays. So, yeah, it's definitely his job until something goes south. I don't see them making a change. There's no reason to change. And it's not pretty on offense. They're not scoring 30 points a game. But as long as he's not turning the ball over, I can't imagine that Mike Tomlin would go to Russell Wilson. There's no reason to do that at this moment. As long as you're 3-0 and the team is playing the way it's playing, like I said, offense is not pretty. He does not process the field very well, but he has made some plays here in these three games that have led to wins, and that's really all that matters.
The question of the week for Boomer Esiason, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. My lead this morning was that the Mac Jones to Miami rumors continue to swirl. Is that a spot where Mac Jones might be able to reclaim his potential NFL dominance?
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that Miami is definitely in a quarterback quandary, and they realize that their season is on the brink right now, and they have to do something. I mean, the pace, you know, Skylar Thompson looks like he broke his ribs. So if he breaks his ribs, he's out for at least 4 or 5 weeks. They don't have any, but I think Tyler Huntley is on their roster. They're not going to win with him. So they are scouring every single team's roster. They will try to make a trade, I believe, because there's really nobody out there. They're not going to bring Ryan Tannehill back. I don't see that. So therefore, a trade has to be made. And Mac Jones seems to me, or Bryce Young potentially, seems to me like the two guys that would be the most logical choices for the Miami Dolphins if they can swing a trade for one of those two guys.
That would be perfect. Week 5, Tom Brady in the booth, Mac Jones is the Dolphins quarterback against the Patriots, and potentially Drake May's debut.
Oh, man. And by the way, I don't know, what did you think of Brady's performance yesterday?
I thought he was good.
Yeah.
I thought he was
better. Getting better and better every week.
He's got the energy.
He was critical. I like the D-throw comments about Dak Prescott. It is still, Boomer, you did this forever at the highest level. The awkward pauses where I think Burkhart's trying to get Tom involved still exist. So I don't know if those will get better, but I thought he was much better than week one.
They will get much better. You just gotta get used to his voice.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Like, you guys have heard him a lot over his 20 years in New England, but you know, for a lot of the everyday fan, they don't know the voice as much as you guys do. So the voice is going to be a big thing to get used to. And, yeah, I agree. I think the last 2 weeks he's gotten more comfortable. He's gotten more critical. And he's not afraid to let people know exactly, you know, how he sees things. And, it, like, watching some of these quarterbacks the last couple of weeks that he has had to do the games with, you know, from the way he played to the way that some of these guys are playing, I'm surprised that he isn't more critical. But then again, I'm sure it's a balancing act for him.
All right, Boomer. Well, we appreciate the time, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Sounds good. Have a great week.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. A lot of upsets yesterday in the NFL. The Chiefs did hang on for a 22-17 win over the Falcons, but the Niners fell to the Rams 27-24. The Ravens hang on to get their first win of the season over the Cowboys. They almost let that one go after being up 28-6 going into the fourth. They only win it 28-25. Seems like Boomer maybe a toe on Mac Island?
Chime glossed right over that, but Boomer said it's likely. I mean,
did he say likely or logical?
I mean, either.
No, they're very different. Logical is, yeah, the team needs a quarterback, so if he's available, go get him.
Right.
But likely would indicate that there's actually a chance, which there isn't, because Mike McDaniel has seen this guy four times and knows how bad he is and has zero desire to bring him to his roster.
Okay.
All right.
We need it to happen now.
I can't wait for it to not happen so we can permanently end all Mac Jones discussion on this program.
Well, Dolphins quarterback Skylar Thompson led midway through the third quarter of their loss to the Seahawks after suffering what Mike McDaniel is calling a painful rib injury. College games important to this show this weekend. Early bye week for Georgia, but BC pulls out a win for the Red Bandana game at a rainy alumni. 23-19, the final against Michigan State. And UMass got their first win of the season. Against CCSU.
Yeah, 38-35, so it's a good game.
Good game. The Red Sox beat the Twins 8-1 and then 9-3 in a doubleheader yesterday. Tristan Cassis, the main headline of this one. Cassis homered in his first three at-bats in the first game of the day. Alex Cora talked about Cassis after, as featured on last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
He went from that game on Friday to this, you know, obviously missing time, put him in a bad spot, you know, the inconsistency of the at-bats, but that's part of the process, right? And, you know, when he goes the other way, that's when you're like, okay, cool. You know, it's not only poolside. You know, he can do damage going the other way. He can stay on pitches. And he's a good hitter. He's a good hitter, and he dominates the strike zone. So those are good signs.
You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. The boys are on the road now, taking on the Blue Jays tonight. 7:07 first pitch with Tanner Houck getting the start. You can hang out with Coop at 6:07 for the MassMutual pregame show. And then Will Fleming and Lou Maloney have the call in the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network right here on EEI and, as always, on the Odyssey app.
Well, there's actually a listen party at Echelon tonight, so I'll be there celebrating.
Curtis, you're welcome anytime.
Oh, that's
love to have you.
Do you know when you're not invited somewhere? When somebody says, come by whenever.
Yep.
Big fall cleanup weekend at the condo. Apparently all my stuff has to go. Apparently I don't live in a bachelor condo anymore.
Nope.
So none of my stuff, all my stuff that I have and that I like is apparently not good enough.
To be clear, you chose this life. You were done relationships.
Okay,
is your choice.
On my coffee table, I have like some photo books.
Okay. Uh-huh. Coffee table books.
They are sports themed.
Yep.
Like I have the NFL 100, I have the Bruins 100 year centennial book.
Sports talk for dummies.
I like those books.
Yeah.
So
you have always read picture books more than actual books.
Sports. Apparently all those have to go away. There has to be flowers and overly priced scented pumpkin candles. Right.
Those do smell good, though.
I mean, to be honest, the place didn't smell bad before. Like, right. I don't really notice any difference.
There's too many books, though. Like,
A lot of magazines.
Look at your charcuterie board. It's like over all of these magazines.
I have to say that Marconi should not be near such an SE TV. Like, look at that thing.
That TV's small.
God,
man.
Does that suck.
Did she allow you to keep the Boston Common Man of the Year
The magazine cover?
Yeah, the magazine
cover.
That's down.
That got taken down.
Okay, Lindsay is worth her weight in gold.
And that got replaced with that bookshelf thing there.
Yeah, I got to get rid of that bookshelf thing.
That's new. That's brand new. She just got that.
Yeah, she's
got
to get rid of that.
She just got that. That thing came yesterday.
Right, but I'm telling you, you got to get a nice TV stand that's longer than your TV and goes underneath it. Here's what you need to do.
Do you like flying JetBlue, Greg, because the TV's bigger than the one at home?
No, he has it mounted. He doesn't need a TV stand.
No,
he just
needs
to get rid of that black. What is that black like case under there?
Yeah, that's
is that leather?
Yeah, it's leather.
No, Courtney.
What's wrong with that?
Don't tell Nima chick.
Don't listen to Greg. Don't listen to women on this.
Oh.
When it comes to your television area, take it from the men.
No, I don't have any say in the matter anymore.
You should have.
There's a difference between men and women.
Right.
And we should be able to meet in the middle. Like, I want I want some of my things in my in our place.
But it's like I told my wife, when it comes to the apartment, all I ask is you give me the freedom to control the TV area and setup. You need a TV stand underneath that television, whether it's a floating one or one that's on the ground. You can get you a nice one that has a looks like it has a fireplace in it. The bookshelf and that other thing.
One that looks like it has a fireplace in it.
I'm telling you. You don't listen to women because that's how it's going to look. It's going to look awful.
And what's with the Taco Tuesday recipes?
That was a book that she was looking through. That's not normally there.
Trying to help you out, brother.
Kurt Cobain guy.
But what? You have an issue with Kurt Cobain?
No, I didn't know you were big. You know.
Well, he's the thing. He invented a whole genre of music.
Yeah.
Nirvana is arguably the most revolutionary rock band in the history of
Greg
rock.
Greg loves
bands.
His grunge.
And we all know Greg's place smells like Teen Spirit.
Trying to help you out, brother.
You got to get rid of the magazines. That's it.
No, I don't have to get rid of the magazines.
You do.
No.
Yeah, don't. You can't put anything on the table.
I don't. What are you going to put on the table
other than your
feet?
A snack. A drink.
Is tomorrow going to be Shrimp Taco Tuesday?
All right, enough, please. Can we move on? What about the weather? Can we get to the weather?
Yeah, it's really hot. Not really. It's 59 degrees afternoon, high of 65.
Dalton taking a shot to the end zone. It is caught. Adam Thielen. Magnificent pass from Dalton.
Hour two, Jones and Keith here on a Patriots Monday. Hunter Henry, Christian Gonzalez scheduled to join the show. We'll get to what happened. Week three, a lot happened. Lost two for the Patriots. Week three of the NFL season. That comes your way 15 minutes from now. Mark it down. We will also get into week in review at 12:45. So stay tuned for that. Here on a Monday on WEEI, we'll get back into your phone call, 617-779-7937. Andy Dalton, great yesterday. What does that have to do with the Patriots? Now we'll explain coming up. But a few texts here, 37937. This is good. Guys, you should put $300 on Zach Moss. This is for the Bozo touchdown parlay. We have a fifth leg of the first four touchdowns hit.
Wait a minute.
In our touchdown parlay.
Yeah, go ahead.
They say cash out, put $300 on Zach Moss, and that way you're winning something either way. You've already won. You've cashed out.
Yeah, but then if he doesn't score, now you're down to like $200.
Yeah, but if he scores.
But if you cash out, you just get $550. But if he scores, he's a minus guy.
Okay, so you don't like that?
I actually don't like that.
Okay.
I understand the premise and the idea of hedging, but I don't think that's really going to be worth your buck.
I guess that's true. You don't want to cash out and hedge. You want to just
if you put $300 on Zach Moss, you win $540.
Yeah, but that includes like your $300.
But you shouldn't cash out.
You don't really win that. You win like $270.
No, the point is, that person has it wrong. You shouldn't cash out. You let it ride, but then you hedge with a separate bet. Now we're hedging. Now we're gambling. we're gambling.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you
just lose everything.
No, that's not true.
That's not how it works. If you let it ride and then also bet on Moss and then he doesn't score, now you've just lost $400.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, what am I talking about? Can you bet no touchdown?
No. See, no. This is what if the last one remains.
Yeah, you're right. That's not gambling at all.
That's a horrible idea.
Yeah, how do you hedge
you're
that?
Just losing money.
You can't hedge a touchdown parlay, I don't think.
No, not really. The only way to maybe do it would be if he was plus 270 like Thielen was.
Yeah.
And then you cash out, then you sprinkle a little bit, maybe a few hams on that. A
couple of hams.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I don't think you can hedge this,
Just let it ride or don't. But you're getting – it's not like
Oh, you get your money back. You get $550 or you get $1,200. Obviously, everybody would rather have $1,200, but are you going to really put your stock in Zach Moss and Adam Jones, who made that pick?
Well, that really is the issue. It's me and Zach Moss. Yes. That's really
what
the issue.
What a combo.
Somebody texted. They said they already cashed out. They said they cashed out $500 in the account. My wife already said, give me that money.
You should have let it ride, Ben.
Yeah, that's when you let ride.
Yeah, you let that one
that's
ride.
That's true. Good point.
All right.
All right. How do you hedge a touchdown parlay? I'm not sure you can. Actually,
it's
good point.
Pretty tough, especially when it's like a minus 125 situation. Yeah. You can't really do it. Otherwise, you might be out a lot of hams.
Cash out, Keith says. Yep. Cash out.
Cash out.
We'll get to your phone calls here in a moment. I just want to get to the Andy Dalton stat.
Yes,
Andy Dalton yesterday. First quarterback in the NFL, 300 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Which is crazy. But
3 weeks in, he's the first quarterback to do well.
Cover, the numbers have been
cover
down.
Two. Cover two ruined the NFL, according
cover
to Mel
two,
Kiper.
Cover two, Mel Kiper.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Geno had 320 yards passing, but didn't have the 3 touchdowns.
Nope.
He had, what, 2? And so, the overall passing numbers have been down. We're talking about the passing touchdowns. Now, Jacoby Brissett has helped really anchor that down. Like, he is sinking that like a stone.
True.
But... yeah, even across the league, some of those guys we were looking at. Remember, Aaron Rodgers hadn't thrown for 200 prior to the Patriots game.
Yeah, that
you
turned
know, Mahomes,
on a dime.
A lot of these guys. Yeah, it's turning. I think eventually we're going to see passing touchdowns. But yeah, Andy Dalton, first start of the year, and becomes the first quarterback to hit those numbers.
Ready for this, Boston Sports Nymph.
Okay, what do you got?
Good tweet.
I'm listening.
Andy Dalton yesterday, 309 yards.
Whew.
Patriots passing the entire season, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
306.
Come on. Dalton threw more passing yards yesterday
than the Patriots have in 3 weeks. Correct. Yes.
Not just Brissett.
Is that?
Might just be Brissett.
He says Patriots entire season, but that might be Brissett.
It might be right.
But that's a good point.
It doesn't really matter. Well, Brissett's been the starter for 3 games.
It would ruin the stat, though.
Andy Dalton has more passing yards in 1 game. Yeah, but the Panthers must be loaded, Jones. They must have a good O line. They must be good to go. Even Adam Thielen. Like, Adam Thielen's washed.
Yeah, not great.
I'll give you Deontay Johnson. I think he's good. I wanted the Patriots in on Deontay Johnson, so I think he's good. He had a good game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, Adam Thielen, he didn't look great last year.
No. So, what's the takeaway from the Panthers? We were wondering, is Bryce Young a cautionary tale? Are you worried about it? Or does Bryce Young just suck? I think it turns out Bryce Young just sucks.
Bryce Young sucks.
That's proof of it.
Yes.
Proof is in the pudding.
Case closed.
If Bryce Young didn't suck, the Panthers have plenty on that team.
Yep.
You know, Thielen's not great, and now he's hurt. But Deontay Johnson, good player. They went out and spent on the offensive line. And I'm not telling you they're a playoff team or a good team or anything like that, but they're not a completely broken offense if you just put in...
Oh, they lit it up.
Washed up Andy Dalton back there. And so that, to me, is not an example of Carolina ruining a young quarterback and destroying a young quarterback. That's an example of he's a kid who could never play, and they probably just drafted the wrong guy. That's what I think.
I agree. I think a lot of people wanted to take the Bryce Young situation and spin it as a, this is
you
why you
can't
don't
play Drake May.
But I think you're focusing on the wrong guy. Andy Dalton has become sort of a laughingstock because he loses in the playoffs and he loses in primetime. But the fact is, he was losing in the playoffs. He was taking the Bengals to the playoffs. But the most important nugget about Andy Dalton isn't what he did yesterday. Andy Dalton... is another rookie who played right away.
Ooh, good point.
For a bad team. He came in, they won 4 games the year before. Andy Dalton shows up, they win 9 games his rookie year. He starts every game, throws more touchdowns than picks. He and A.J. Green, so A.J. Green was the high draft pick, and then Dalton was the high second-round draft pick. But he started immediately. They started the better guy. They weren't afraid. Do you think the Bengals' O-line was great then? I don't think it's ever been good.
God, no.
And they threw Dalton into the wolves, into the fire. He won 5 more games and helped turn that team around. And, you know, if you compare the Bengals to the Patriots, there is no comparison. But just from 2011 on, there were some successful seasons there where they were constantly in the playoffs. And Andy Dalton started right away. He didn't sit and wait and all that other stuff. So I think really yesterday is more... Andy Dalton's better than people give him credit for, has been his whole career. Bryce Young just sucks. He is a bust. He's a little guy.
This is what it seems,
has no elite skill, and has gotten eaten up in the NFL, and they made the right call, too, by benching him. I thought they should have just kept playing him, but my guess is inside the locker room, they know he ain't the answer, meaning both coaches and players, maybe more importantly, and so they want to try to salvage the season in any way possible and at least play competitive games, and they did that.
And to me... this is an example of, well, what's Drake May going to do if he gets in there? Drake May. Well, I don't know. Maybe it does a similar thing to what Carolina did. They sat the wrong guy down who was doing nothing with a broken offense. And it's the veteran and rookie are backwards in this one, but Brissett looks like Bryce Young out there.
Yeah.
The offense doesn't move. They don't make plays. So sit down the guy who doesn't make plays and kills the team offensively and play the guy who can move the ball a little bit, and maybe you have a Carolina-esque turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
617-779-7937. What lessons are there in Carolina and their quarterback switch? It's the only one in the NFL so far. Hopefully the Patriots are next. Mark is in Medford. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, real quick, before I get to my actual comment, I just want to say cash out the $550 because I got Zach Moss on my fantasy team, and he hasn't done a freaking thing for me yet.
There you go. So, yeah. Good call.
He scored week one.
Good call.
But yeah.
Anyway, call me a conspiracy theorist for the NFL, but I'm convinced now that the league does not want Patrick Mahomes to lose a game. This is 2 weeks in a row now.
So last night, was he talking about they didn't call the flag in the end zone on Kyle Pitts? Is that what he's talking about? Because then the Chiefs came out, and it was three straight penalties on the whole Falcons drive, marching down the field before they stuffed Bijan Robinson on fourth down.
Yeah.
Was penalty after penalty after penalty on the Chiefs. So I don't know. That last night I watched that. When the Pitts play happened in the end zone, I was like, oh, God, here we go again with the Chiefs. I feel like they got a couple of bang-bang calls against them defensively on that final drive. Am I missing something else he's referencing? I don't know what else he's referencing.
I'll be honest. And it's no shot at Mark, because people can care about what they want to care about. I don't give a crap about like the refs and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. You hear it after every game or every like controversial call. Oh, they're in the bag for him. I don't care. Like, just... You're going to have to beat Patrick Mahomes. He's very good. You know, Brady got some breaks along the way, too. Like, the whole ref angle with Kansas City doesn't interest me at all.
I didn't like how they beat Cincinnati the week before. I'm not a big focus on the refs guy, but even that one, I was like, why do they win games like this all the time? It's just frustrating. I don't think the Chiefs have the league in their pocket or anything like that, or the refs are getting, like, buzzed down.
Yeah.
I don't believe in any of that, but it was just like, oh, man, this was a good game, and it stinks it was settled that way. I didn't feel that way last night. Personally, I didn't.
Mm.
Brendan is in Chicopee. Go ahead, Brendan.
Hey, guys. Let's say we're the worst team, or one of the worst teams. We have a top five pick.
Okay.
And they continue to not play Drake. So are they not going to take a quarterback next year? Because you don't even know what Drake is. And if you don't play him, you don't know what he is. So are they going to whiff on it, like, not take a quarterback next year if that's presented to him?
Well, it's part of the conundrum. If you don't know what you have in the quarterback,
yeah,
then how do you approach?
But no, they shouldn't.
Shouldn't what?
Take a quarterback.
Well,
next year.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, like, they took one this year. It's a matter of when we'll see them. But
well, right,
they took one.
But in the case of Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray, the Cardinals, they did make the right call,
but they saw a lot of Rosen.
Yeah,
and realized that he wasn't it.
If you don't get to see him, that's fair.
Yeah,
but
right,
if you
right,
see
right,
a man
right.
look right.
Yeah, okay.
You know, let's see. But I liked what I saw. If we're being honest, I like what I
saw
on Thursday night with Drake May. It was a rough go, though, for the Patriots, to say the least. And it is a Patriots Monday here on WEEI. We're joined right now by cornerback Christian Gonzalez here again on a Patriots Monday. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Christian Gonzalez, how are we doing this week?
I'm good. How are y'all?
We're doing well. No easy way to put it. Thursday night was a rough go, a difficult showing. You guys are back in the building. Do you feel like you now have watched your way through that? You're able to put that loss behind you. How do you feel after that game on Thursday night?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we went out there, we got beat, but I mean, we put it behind us. We're ready to move forward for the 49ers.
You know, week to week in the league is just one great receiver after the next. And whether it's Jamar Chase, DK Metcalf, Garrett Wilson, I know there's some injuries with San Francisco, but still, like, on down the line, how easy is it to get motivated week in and week out to take on one of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as a corner, you want to go up against the best. You know, just being able to go up against the best is only makes you better, and I'm always up for the challenge. And it's fun to go out there. I love going up against, you know, the league's best, so it's a fun matchup.
You know, and I know you have to do whatever the defense is called, but would you prefer just to man-to-man, one-on-one, no help, just follow the guy all around the field and play that way?
Yeah, I mean, there's times like that, but then, you know, it's a team game, so no matter what, I rely up on the front and they rely on me. So either way, whatever is called.
Entering the weekend, and these numbers can adjust. I haven't checked the updated numbers this morning, but entering the weekend, according to Pro Football Focus, you were rated 114 out of 143 corners in coverage this year. Any thoughts on those numbers and the advanced analytics in general?
not really pay attention to that.
What do you think that paints?
I'll speak for you. Those numbers are garbage. Okay, but do you think that we're watching the games. It's not just because you're our guest. Those numbers are trash.
Do you think that paints an accurate picture of how you're playing?
I mean, people watch the games and see what happens. I mean, they don't really got to pay attention to the numbers.
Is that do those things ever even come up? Like, is that something inside the locker room, whether it be player to player or coaches mention that? Is that something that is on any of your guys' radar?
No, we don't. But we keep everything in house. Whatever, you know, all that matters is what's said inside the locker room. What we do here. So I mean, we don't really let any of the outside noise or any of that, you know, kind of speak to us.
What's the internal feedback you get on your play thus far this year? Looking at a lot of the individual numbers when you're matched up on Chase, we know the long touchdown was on more of a broken play to DK Metcalf, matched up individually last week even on Garrett Wilson. The individual numbers are pretty good. What's the internal feedback you're getting on your level of play?
I mean, there's still plays I've left out there and I want to make. I mean, it's good seeing it early in the year and just scouting on myself what I need to fix and things like that.
When you guys aren't playing on a Sunday like yesterday, are you watching the rest of the league? Are you watching Red Zone like a lot of us, or are you just getting away from it all?
I mean, I think I watched a little bit of the Cowboys game, but that wasn't a good game. More so getting away from it, more just chilling, relaxing, playing the game, kind of getting away from it, like using like a little mini bye week.
Playing what? When you say playing the game, what are you playing?
College football.
More
game,
college football. You're back to that.
Yeah.
NCAA. Yeah. Nice. I'm always playing that.
Nice.
What are you doing? You're doing Dynasty Ultimate Team. What are you doing?
Nah, I usually just play my friends.
Got it.
Nice.
Dynasty. That's too much work. I'm not trying to go recruit and do all that.
Yeah. Paying out all that NIL money too is something you got to get doing in that game. Okay, so you're playing a little NCAA football. As you look ahead to the 49ers, I know Rich asked you a little bit about the matchup. What jumps out with San Francisco?
I mean, they're a complete team. I mean, they go out there and, you know, the physical. They got a good offense, a good defense. And then even at the end of the day, it's an away game. So, you know, we got to bring our energy and just go out there and start fast.
And it seems like they've got a ton of injuries going on, and yet they have guys that are jumping up like Juwan Jennings, who I don't think anybody would have thought was their best receiver. And maybe he isn't, but he had three touchdowns and looks like a true number one. So it seems like regardless of who San Francisco has available to them, they got a pretty high-powered offense.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's the NFL. Everybody's just up on this level for a reason. So it's like that on every team. When people go down, you know, it's the next man up, and it's expected to do the same thing.
What'd you, and I know you guys have things going on the sideline at the end of the game. What'd you think, if anything, of Drake May and his performance at the end of the game on Thursday?
I mean, it was good for him to get out there. I'm not a QB coach at any level, so I mean, I can't really grade his performance. I mean, it was good to see him. Good to, you know, get action, get in there and take a couple hits. So I mean, it's good for him to get out there.
Okay. Well, we'll maybe be seeing him at some point in short order this season. You guys will be back out there on Sunday against the San Francisco 49ers. He's Christian Gonzalez of the New England Patriots here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI. Christian, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Ish here, WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us here today. Phone number 617-779-7937. You can text the show at 37937. And if you're watching on Twitch, hi. Twitch chat is very active today. That was Gerard Mayo from earlier today talking with Chris Curtis there on the Hillman Show this morning and saying definitively after sleepless nights of watching the film and going over everything you saw there from Jacoby Brissett, from the Patriots offense, Drake May and his one drive at the end of the game there, or two drives, I guess it was. Or was it just the one
drive? One drive.
It was just one drive. That took, you know, a couple minutes. He has decided, he is determined that Jacoby Brissett will be the starter again on Sunday against the Niners in San Francisco. And that not only will he be the starter, but that he gives the Patriots the best chance to win. Does that pass the sniff test, Andy Hart?
Well, no, but I can spin zone it if we're going to reference the various.
Stiz, can we get the spin zone, please? We might as well if we're gonna tease these things, we got to go ahead and do them. All right, so it does pass the sniff test, but only if you put it in the spin zone, is what it sounds like to me.
Spin zone.
Spin zone.
Spin zone. You spin
my head right. It's the spin zone with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
All right. Throw it in the spin zone, then. Does Jacoby Brissett give the Patriots the best chance to win, Andy?
No, but if you spin it, he gives them the best chance to not lose. And that, as every Belichickian disciple knows, is the start of the process in the NFL. Everybody thinks, oh, you're going to try to win? Stupid. Belichick said for years, that's stupid. You don't try to win, you idiot. First, you have to not lose, mm-hmm, because more games are lost in the NFL than are won. Stick with me here. I'm using coaching words.
Okay.
It's not actually factual. It's the same number, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
For every winner, there's a loser. But more games are lost than are won, uh-huh, in the National Football League. And Jacoby Brissett will not go out there and lose the football game for you. He has not lost a game all year. Is that factually accurate?
I think a different quarterback, a better quarterback, could have kept them in the game with
Didn't
the Jets.
Didn't say that. No. I said, has he lost a game?
Yeah, I think he lost that game.
How?
Because he only produced three points.
No. He didn't do anything to hurt you.
It's only scoring 3 points.
You know what hurt you?
Only scoring 3 points hurt
you. Your star running back hurt you.
Okay, he fumbled.
You know what else
true.
Hurt you? Your piss poor offensive line, your porous, your Swiss cheese offensive line hurt you. You know what else hurt you? A defense that couldn't tackle you, never mind actual NFL players.
So then why don't we just put a dummy out there with a jersey and a helmet and snap the ball to the dummy and let it get sacked every 5 minutes and say, hey, great job. You didn't do anything to lose
because
the game.
Like the dummy will probably fumble.
Well, maybe.
See? So you'd have to duct tape the ball to him. You can't do that.
You figure out some sort of apparatus to make it work. But you get my drift,
possible,
right?
Smart Alex.
The San Francisco 49ers are a team that's going to score some points. Are they not?
You're going to lose.
Okay.
But you're not going to lose because it's Jacoby Brissett. You're going to lose because your team isn't very good.
But which of those two quarterbacks has even a chance of scoring points with the San Francisco 49ers?
Neither.
Which one has a chance? A
Jacoby better chance. Brissett.
Has a better chance of scoring points with the Niners?
I think Drake May would have a better chance to score points for the 49ers than against them.
I mean, that might happen, but in terms of who has the capability of actually
Jacoby
going
Brissett
out
does, too. Let's not pretend the guy can't throw the ball, can't run a little bit, hasn't made any plays. I mean, they're limited. They're few and far
between.
He's
got one touchdown.
We'll say my son
in three
has
games
more passing yards than he does, and that's not great. In high school, offenses got more passing yards than you.
It's brutal. I mean, listen, I like he's a good interview.
Brutal.
But he's brutal.
Is Will Levis. Brutal is when you have to yell, what the F are you doing to your quarterback in the middle. Has Gerard Mayo once had to yell, what the F are you doing?
Yeah, probably on that Hunter Henry play.
No. What Hunter Henry play?
The interception that Hunter Henry ripped the ball away from the defensive
From his day. Vantage point, that would have been hard to see. On the replay and on the tape, he might have yelled, what the F are you doing?
I think he really almost did. Yeah, he might have, I guess. I'm just saying. Like,
but he hasn't made any, I hold that against him, he hasn't made the killer mistakes. He's missed opportunities to make plays, and I don't believe Gerard Mayo, he actually gives you the best chance to win, but he gives you the best chance not to lose, and that seems to be what they're looking for right now.
If you can't crack 150 yards passing, how does that give you a better chance not to lose?
Because you're going
to
rush for 250.
Are you?
No, but that's what they think.
And also, Drake May can't hand the ball
off? Have you listened to Gerard Mayo? He thinks they dominated the line of scrimmage throughout August.
Fine. Drake May can't turn around and hand the ball off?
He might
freak
out.
If all they're going to do is run the ball.
What if he fumbles a snap?
I mean, what
it's possible.
Brissett fumbles a snap. What if Stevenson keeps fumbling the ball?
They are
the ball?
Worried that the young quarterback would lose them the game. I think that worry is dissipating. I think that will one more garbage time series away. Also, answering the text line, the reason they didn't call timeouts to score is because if you call timeouts there and I'm on the other sideline, Now I'm blitzing your rookie quarterback and I'm trying to kill him. If you want to play nicey-nicey, I'll let you do garbage time with your quarterback. You start calling timeouts and trying to score and win the game or do something stupid.
I mean, they were trying to kill
him
anyway.
Now I'm going to be pissy.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to be really pissy. I think that was garbage time that was played out relatively well by both teams. You can't call timeouts there.
I agree. That's, I didn't think there was
weird.
Any need to
I don't
do
know
that.
If it's a written rule, an unwritten rule, or just like a gentleman's agreement, anything like that. I would have thought Gerard Mayo, rookie head coach, if you called timeout there. And I think Alex Van Pelt might have said, what the F are you doing? Yeah. Why are we calling time? That, so that wasn't the place for
I didn't
that.
Have a problem with that either.
I didn't either. But spin zone this, the you're not going to beat the 49ers. Can we agree?
I don't think they're going to win with either one. But in terms of who's going to play not to lose.
But who is
the
gonna,
guy who has a possibility of putting up some yards and some numbers is Drake May. It's not Jacoby Brissett. And you're going to have to do that to win.
Who has the best chance to get blown out?
Probably May.
Yes, definitely
probably
May. Definitely May. No
probably
problem.
Probably May.
Definitely
but he
May.
Also has more of a chance to keep the game close.
Neither guy has... What?
To keep the game close.
I don't think he does.
Closer than Jacoby Brissett does.
No. I think because Jacoby Brissett will not
if
make
Jacoby
the mistakes.
If Jacoby Brissett throws for 100 yards, it's going to be the same thing. If he goes for under 100 yards.
What are they leaning on?
I mean, come on.
What are they leaning on? Their coach has told you many times what they
defense
lean on.
Defense and running.
Okay. That has nothing
so
to do with Drake May or Jacoby
Drake
Brissett.
May. Yeah, fine.
So they're basically
then.
Saying don't F it up, quarterbacks. Don't F it up.
Yeah.
And they
and
think
they're 1-2.
And
so.
Well, and they got not because the quarterback effed it up.
No,
when did the quarterback screw
I'm
it up?
I'm saying that plan, that way of going about it.
They're not a very good football
defense
team.
Defense and running the ball,
but they could be 2-1.
Two,
you know who said that? Gerard Mayo. I wouldn't have said it today, but he said that.
Yeah, they could also be 0-3.
Right? Yes,
so
it probably know? Should be 0-3.
They probably should if Joe Burrow had
what
woken up.
With?
I mean, I don't. I, at this point, I'm not sure. Who
you actually
you?
Think Drake May should play this week? Because I think Gerard should have said common sense. No chance in hell I'm throwing into the wolves of the 49ers defense in San Francisco. He might start a week later. The May watch instead of the BB watch, instead of the Bay watch, the May watch starts week 5 against the Dolphins. It would be a disservice to Drake. For a guy you've protected so far, you've put bubble wrap, kid gloves. He's like the freaking Stanley Cup. You got to put white gloves to take him out of the box.
And I don't think they should have done that. I think
but they've done that.
They should undo that.
But no, now you undo any good you did when doing it. If you do, like throw him to the wolves.
I don't think there was any good to doing it.
Okay,
I think
may
they
not
should
be.
Undo it.
But
yes.
It would be dumb to throw it. That's a disservice to Drake May. All this should have been handled differently if you were going to throw him out there at a game like the 49ers. So you've gone down this path. What's this say earlier? In for a penny, in for a pound, or in for a pint, out for a drink?
If you're in it for a penny, you're in it for a pound.
Okay. Yep. Well, they're in this plan of kid gloves with Drake May for a pound. The penny already gone. Now you're in for a pound. And after he doesn't get pounded by the 49ers, except maybe in some mop-up duty late, then you can
which
consider
starting
him.
Which he probably will. He'll probably be out there in mop-up duty.
If
right?
they started him, I might have to go back to writing columns for WEEI.com and say Gerard Mayo lost his way. Because you had a plan. You were sticking with it. Kid gloves. You're protecting the kid. If you throw him to the Wolves in San Francisco, you undid any good you thought you did by only playing him for a series against the Panthers in the preseason. Oh, if you were going to play him in San Francisco, he should have played 5 series against the Panthers. It should have been obvious you're on a fast track to get him on the field. They weren't on that. And I believe, personally, I believe this. I don't know how you feel. That it's Alex Van Pelt. It's all Alex Van Pelt. It was always Alex Van Pelt. He seems to be the kid glove guy.
Yeah, it's
I don't know
plan.
The guy's name that carries the Stanley Cup. He's the guy with the white gloves on taking care of Drake May, the Stanley Cup. And he's not taking him out of the box and letting people urinate in him and poop in him and eat cereal in him and all the other things they've done to the Stanley Cup. He's protecting the Stanley Cup.
Poop in it?
Yeah, I think people have done that, it's been said.
Interesting.
Yeah, Mike Bolt. Is
Mike Bolt? I'm looking at it says Philip Pritchard is what I'm seeing.
I got two different names.
Yeah. Who's Mike Bolt?
Keeper of the
Stanley Cup.
Stanley Cup.
And who's Philip Pritchard? Oh, is the curator of the Hockey Hall of Fame, but there's all these pictures of him
plus,
with the Stanley Cup.
His name is Stanley. He knows about Stanley Cups.
That's true. He would. Of all the people who would know, it would be Stanley. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to Paul in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Paul. Wait, Paul, did you already call us?
Yeah, I did, but yeah, I asked permission. Well,
no,
is that okay?
No, you can't call twice.
What do you?
No, we don't have to have people calling twice in the show. I'm sorry.
Okay, I agree. I mean,
you asked permission in the future back there. No calling twice. We don't do double calls in the show. And I should have looked at that before I just blindly put them on the air.
Yeah, what if it had said like?
I don't know. It was a different. I thought maybe it was a different Paul in Rhode Island. I didn't think we were letting two calls through a day.
Jeez.
But either way, we had enough Paul in Rhode Island for one day. I think, didn't we?
More than enough.
I think we did.
I think there's
what are you complaining about?
Intern Mike said he tried to disguise his voice.
Oh, really?
Oh, he's getting wily, that old man.
Interesting. Well, the number pops up.
He must be sober then right now if he's smart enough to try to disguise his voice.
At least he's very locked into what we're talking about.
Yeah.
There's that at least.
Which is good.
It's something.
I honestly believe all Gerard Mayo should have said is common sense. I didn't need the film. I didn't need to see. I don't even need him to really kind of blow smoke up my keister and tell me that Jacoby Brissett gives us a better chance to win. Whatever. Okay. Put whoever you... But common sense is you've protected Drake May, correct? There's no other reason he didn't start than you protected Drake May.
Yep.
Okay.
Which I think is a mistake, but yes.
You've done it. You're already in. You've already gone down the road of that plan.
Mm-hmm.
I think Thursday night against the Jets would have been the worst time to put Drake May out there. And then the second worst time would be Sunday in San Francisco. Once you get past that, it's all on the table. If you want to start in week 5, 6, home, road. I still think they want a home pop out of it. They want a home crowd. They want an excited home crowd to see Drake May. Maybe buy some jerseys, buy their new, see the salute to service stuff? You know how they do that every year?
Oh, the camo jerseys?
But this year it's like Arctic camo, so it's all grays and whites. It would like if you were in the Army in the Arctic, I guess, in the snow.
Like Siberia or
it's pretty sweet.
Huh.
It's pretty sweet. I might have to go get me some.
They're like jerseys?
I haven't seen the jerseys. I just saw the hoodies and the hats and the sideline apparel and the various things.
Okay.
It's pretty sweet looking.
Yeah, that sounds
but
right.
But yes, that's unveil it for, because he's cool as ice, Drake May. So unveil him with the salute to service Arctic camo at Gillette Stadium against the Dolphins. Because you'd be doing him a disservice. And you can't change now midstream.
He's a pro football player at disservice.
I agree, but you want to change midstream?
Yes, I do want to change. I never liked the stream to begin with. I hated the stream, and I want to change the stream as soon as we possibly can. People are treating this debut of Drake May like it's some Sweet 16 birthday party, and everything's got to be perfect, and we got to have the chocolate fountain, and we got to have Jimmy to dance with on the floor. Like, all this cred, so ridiculous.
But isn't this how sports work?
It's the NFL. No, it's not how sports work.
You ever seen boxing?
Drew Bledsoe got knocked out, and they put in Tom Brady, and that's how he started.
He'd already played in the NFL.
Fine, but if it happened in year one, then he would have already been there in year one.
That's how
it would have happened.
How much of this do you think is Mac Jones because of what happened with Mac Jones?
But Mac
which
Jones
is fresh
is
in our minds.
Yeah, but I bet
Mac
that's
Jones
part of
it. Was good as a rookie.
Yeah,
that's
but
the
then
problem.
He got didn't break. Ruined.
So if you're using the Mac Jones plan, you should have played Drake May this year and then sat him next year. Because that's when Mac Jones started to break.
No, I get what you're saying. But the general narrative around Mac Jones was like, oh, he was ruined by the coaching staff. Now, with true. That fresh
I'm
in kinda, their minds,
can we put all those to bed?
Like,
can we put those to bed?
What, that the coaching staff
I don't know. Did the Jets
Mac?
Ruin Sam Darnold? This guy's got him as like an MVP candidate. Correct?
Yeah.
I'm pointing to you.
Absolutely.
I know we're on the radio. I'm pointing to Arcand.
The Jets, I think, ruined several quarterbacks, and many of them didn't get second chances like Geno Smith and Sam Darnold
right.
did. They bounced around as backups,
so
and
the
then
Jets
they emerged somewhere
him?
Else.
Like, if it's ruined, it's over.
Yeah.
That's like a
true.
Souffle. It popped. It's gone. You don't, like, rekindle it.
Right. But also, you don't often get a second a renaissance in your career
all
like
first
5 years
quarterbacks
later.
Get multiple chances.
Not always.
Yes.
To be starters again, that's not always true. That's not always
probably
true. Sometimes they're just
starters.
Done.
But you know the reason they don't get a second chance to be a starter? Because they go to a second place, and that team goes, this guy stinks. Right?
Yeah. Generally.
Like, a guy would get a second chance if he had any talent. In a league where they start 70 quarterbacks every year, or at least last year, don't exaggerate, Andy. If they start multiple quarterbacks every year, guys mm-hmm. get chances. The guys that don't get chances, it's because they stink. And you know why they broke in their first place? Because they stink. They weren't good quarterbacks. But Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield and Geno Smith are proving you don't break them. You just aren't the right situation for them. And then when they get to a good situation, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
And some other guys actually don't break in their own place. Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. They're in places where they could have been broken. Did they break? No. You know why? Good. Do I think Drake May's good? Yes.
But you can't play him because he might break.
No, I wouldn't play him this week because you've gone down this road. If he had played week one
screw
and week two, then I'd be playing him all along. It's not like I would have said, play him week one and week two, then sit him because, ooh, scary Jets, scary Niners. I'd say, no, he's played two games. He's an NFL quarterback now. You haven't allowed him to develop even into a young, green, rookie NFL quarterback. You haven't developed him to have him ready to play in San Francisco. So it's a disservice to him. I'm not going to say you're going to break him because I like him. And I'm not going to say he's breakable. But you're going to make his life really difficult, unnecessarily difficult. You wait a week because you're getting beat by the Niners either way. Mm-hmm. You wait a week and then you face Tim Boyle? I don't even know. Tim Boyle and the Dolphins?
Sure. Mac Jones, maybe.
A team that scores less points than you. That's what you face in Week 5 at Gillette Stadium. Now you got a puncher's chance. Now put Drake May out there in front of a friendly crowd, or at least the Gillette crowd. We'll see how they are in the third quarter, depending on how things go. But give him a chance. It's not that I would have never started him in San Francisco. I would never start him in his first start in San Francisco. I would have started him in Week 1 and said, yeah, in Week 4, he's going to have to play the 49ers. He's our quarterback. What do you want me to do?
We agree with that, then, at least.
Okay.
We would have rather started with him.
I thought you were in one of your 5 o'clock moods.
No, I wasn't, but I just think I'd rather undo it and rip the Band-Aid off sooner rather than later. Of course
you can. The damage is done.
And if you go, and Brissett goes out there in the first series and twists his ankle, then you're going to have to do it anyway. So
yeah, that's not ideal.
But obviously not.
Your hands are tied. You got no other option.
So either way, it's going to happen. So what's the difference?
Well, no, it's not going to. Has Brissett gotten hurt yet?
I'm saying if he did, then you go out there, then you have to put him in anyway.
If your car breaks down, you're going to walk home. You're not going to choose to walk home.
No, but walking home and putting the better quarterback into a game are two different options, isn't it?
But it's the same thing. When you're forced into something, sometimes you just have to do it. They could be forced into playing May. Yes, I'm not one of those that says, put Joe Milton in. You're never forced into playing May unless Milton gets hurt too. Blah, blah, blah. No.
Then it won't be the perfect thing that you want for Drake May to be the worst.
You're choosing to pick one of the worst case scenarios. Why would you choose to pick the worst case scenario? You effed it up by not playing him earlier, so it is now the worst case scenario.
It's not. If he goes out there and plays well against San Francisco, I think it's a great case scenario.
What if he gets his, what we talked about earlier,
knocked
off?
That's all anyone ever says is, what if he gets hurt? What if this happens?
No, what if he plays well?
What if he has a good game?
I don't care if he gets hurt.
Fine. What if he sucks? What if he
doesn't
suck?
What if he throws five picks and is sacked 5 times and 10 dropbacks?
What if he throws 5 touchdown passes and has a 350-yard game? You know, if we're going to talk about what may happen, what may not happen, not one person has even considered the idea that he might go out against San Francisco and not completely embarrass himself.
Oh,
and
I think that's a very reasonable expectation.
And that's why I'd like to see him out there.
Despite the fact that the first pass he threw against the Jets was into double coverage, telegraphed, it should have been a pick.
Almost got picked off. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. Here's Stiz to tell you what's trending, and we're right back.
For those inquiring, I can't stand Studio, which is what Wiggy was alluding to during the pseudonym discussion. So that's why we went with I Don't Care Anymore instead of Studio, which I cannot stand.
Phil Collins is always accepted in this house.
Yeah. 100%.
He has a number of hits. I was worried when you just said to Shime, I don't care anymore. I said, this is going to be a long morning, Greg. Greg's in a dark place.
No, I do care. I care very much. I think Phil Collins was the first guy to use the headset microphone thing because he had to drum during his shows. Mm. And then for a little while, rock artists started to use them. And then they went away. Nobody uses them really anymore. They went back to the legit on-a-stand microphone when it comes to concerts. Right, okay. Chris?
And there's something in the air tonight. I don't know what it is.
There is. Great song. Great song.
Sheila E. used one too, so.
Mm-hmm. Yes, back in the day. Yes, Sheila E. did. Yes, she did. Do you want a sports lead from me, or do you want a sentimental near boomer lead from me?
Sentimental.
Huh?
Sentimental.
Really?
Yeah, it's a Tuesday.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I mean, I had sports lead yesterday. This is a sports radio show.
We could call this Tuesdays with Fogey.
I say, okay. All right. I'll give you this. I'll squeeze both in at some point.
Okay.
We have a lot to get through this morning. It is a Thai Tuesday, and Thai Law will join us at 8:20 this morning. News with Courtney coming up at 7:45, and they said it in a half an hour at 7. That's a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And Wiggy appears to be already triggered by what Bert Breer said when it comes to a real risk if you're going to insert Drake May at all this season, if you're the New England Patriots.
Yeah, because we've been around football a long time. It's like the conversation we had about the two goalies things, right? And we're like, teams don't do that. That's just not something they do, right? Yeah, you might see it here and there, but teams just generally don't do that. It's the same way in football. When you draft a guy, especially a quarterback, with the top 5 pick, you do not sit him behind and...
A journeyman. Backup quarterback.
Backup, average at best, no team, and you just don't see that happening. That's why you see guys like Caleb Williams, guys like Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, you see all these guys playing, and Don't give me the stupid Aaron Rodgers to Brett Favre comparison, or Jordan Love to Aaron Rodgers comparison, or Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes, because the situation that we're in is not the same that they were in.
Mm-hmm.
So stop it. We're a bad team.
But I feel like you can yell from the top of the mountain, you and Shime and the rest of us.
No one hears us.
And nobody is going to hear you. And Gerard Mayo isn't going to have it. And Gerard Mayo slips up every once in a while. Gerard Mayo, after Thursday night, was basically telling you, I think I might want to actually just start Drake May, and then he gets to work. I mean, he said on the show that he said yesterday on the show that he got home and he couldn't sleep and he watched film all night, and then he suddenly realized that Jacoby Brissett gives you the best chance to win. But
He watched the defense film. I don't know if he watched the offense.
As someone who also watched the film, I can assure you Jacoby Brissett does not give you any chance to win.
No.
Hard flex.
Yeah, I did. I went through. I charted how many plays.
You charted?
I thought he said that too.
Charted with a C, not
never
an S.
Get that trust fart.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You got to keep an eye on those. But
do you find that happens a lot less for you now that you've lost the weight?
Way dramatically less. It is remarkable, actually.
Who knew the big winner would be Shime's underwear?
If you're pooping in your pants over the age of 8. You need to go see a doctor.
Courtney, happens.
It happens.
Let's be honest,
it happens
please.
To men probably once or twice a year.
Don't act like it hasn't happened to you either.
I understand that it could happen to you. You're at an older age. But Shime is in the prime, and if Shime's pooping his pants, he needs to go see a doctor.
Courtney, it happens to guys once, twice a year. Absolutely.
Twice a year?
Yeah, sometimes.
Wiggy.
It has happened. I guarantee you, I hate to do this to you, but it's happened to Santo. I guarantee
no way.
I would bet $1,000 on it.
Santo has at some point trusted a fart.
And it doesn't have to be like a full-on, full poop. It's just like a little squeaks out sometimes.
That's why they call it the squeaky deaky.
Exactly.
I just asked him.
He's going to be like, yeah, it happens to me.
Santo, don't respond. You're being used right now.
He's like, ooh, let me catch that.
I know exactly the last time
Turtle
it happened
head.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When was it?
I was super hungover.
Uh-huh.
I was going to play golf the day before my buddy's wedding.
Okay.
I was literally walking out of the house.
Ooh.
Thought it was a fart. It wasn't. I had to go in and change and get ready for golf.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's unfortunate. It is.
It happens.
It's not often talked about, and probably if you're listening right now, you understand why, but it does. It happens. It is a risk.
Santa said no.
He said no.
I said, have you pooped your pants in the past year? He said no.
Well, that's, you don't say, you should have used the term sharded.
No, I don't like that word.
Okay. Oh, you don't like that word?
No.
All right. Let's get right to this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
John, great one this morning. REM and Man on the Moon. With a nod to Andy Kaufman, the Taxi star, the Saturday Night Live performer, the guy who perhaps pulled one of the great visual charades over the entire country when it came to his wrestling foray. So well done, Sean. Good
I morning. Have a question for the room.
Yes.
Why have we not gone back to the moon? I mean, that's sincerely.
Rich Keefe will tell you it's because we've never been there.
That's, I mean, I believe we have, but why Good wouldn't point. We go back?
Well, are you seeing what happened in space recently? They have people stuck up there.
Well,
I don't
know,
think there's anything on the moon that we need to harvest.
But everything is more technologically sound by a factor of billions since the last time we went to the moon.
Uh-huh.
Why wouldn't we go back?
Yeah, and it's not about harvesting, Wiggy. It's about taking more space, right? Mm. We don't have enough space as it is in some areas of
the
world.
So you mean to live on the moon?
People could. You could build stuff on the moon.
I see.
You could build a base on the moon.
And what would like this space be used for?
I don't know. Security reasons?
Think of all the things we do.
Living?
It would be used for gaming. That's what it would be used
Whatever.
For. Do you mean in the real world? Like virtually going to the moon or really going to the moon?
No, like actually
really
going
living
to the moon.
On the moon?
Yeah.
You would like to act, I mean...
If somebody asked me to be part of like a new... I don't want to say civilization, that's a bit too strong, but like a new group that's going to start forming on the moon and they're going to create a community, I would absolutely like to join.
Right, like what? The villages.
Yeah.
You would?
100%.
No questions asked?
None. You would just...
Really?
Yeah. So you'd have to live in a bubble?
Yeah, just live.
What about groceries and stuff like that?
It'll be like Biodome with Pauly Shore.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Huh.
I'm sorry about that.
If somebody came to you, Shime, and said, we would like you to be the leader of
Space Force.
And to go and start a colony on the moon, you would say yes immediately.
Absolutely.
Would you bring Lauren?
Yeah, if she wants to come.
What if she says, I don't want to go, you'd still leave her?
For the sake of mankind to make a community on the moon, I would consider it.
And I think, Greg, the recording would be, that's one small shart for man.
I can't believe this. You would leave your soon-to-be fiancé behind.
Right. To go live on the moon.
Wow.
For what?
Unbelievable.
To advance society, Wiggy.
Unbelievable.
And for people saying that it costs a lot of money, look at government. They have a PhD in wasting money.
Yeah, they don't really care about the money.
There you go.
All right, Chime, your lead this morning.
Yeah, good morning, Greg. So there was one thing I realized last night. It wasn't Drake May related for you, though. Ultimately, it's just, it always has been, it always will be two teams. It is Patrick Mahomes and it is Josh Allen. That's it. Those are the teams. Like, at the end of the day, when the season ends, it's going to come down to that game. Patrick Mahomes versus Josh Allen. And history would indicate that Patrick Mahomes will probably win that game. But you never know. Josh Allen might break through. But at the end of the day, regardless, these two guys play the quarterback position better than anyone in the sport. And it's not even remotely close. Like, anybody prior to the season who thought that the Bills were going to stink or the Bills were going to struggle didn't quite comprehend just how good Josh Allen is at playing quarterback. Like, this guy is insanely talented. It's unfortunate for him that Patrick Mahomes exists. Otherwise, he would be doing what Mahomes is doing. Like, that's how good this guy is. I don't think people quite understand that. Like, Warren Sharp had this info. When you play man defense against Josh Allen, he has 42 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Like, he lights you up. Yeah. This guy is remarkable. The AFC Championship game, or whenever they meet in the playoffs, it'll be the Bills versus the Chiefs, Allen versus Mahomes once again, and the winner of that's going to win the Super Bowl.
Okay, so I should feel confident putting both of those games this season down as L's for the New England Patriots?
Yes.
I capitalize right. That L too.
Bold it, please. John, maybe italicize.
Thank you. Good morning, Curtis.
Good morning. Just so my memory serves, who was the last Patriots quarterback to beat Josh Allen?
Mac Jones.
Okay.
I was at that game. That's the only reason he won. It was a spite win for Mac Jones.
Just because I don't know a new way to say the same thing about Jacoby Brissett. Have you seen these studies about we're going to be banning foods, snack foods in certain American states because of direct ties to cancer?
No.
So everyday food snacks that are facing a ban, Oreo, Flamin' Hot Cheetos, right. Gatorade, and they're always after my Lucky Charms.
Really?
Yes.
What?
And so there is a study here, and I don't talk about this because I briefly lived in England, but there are these screen grabs of the same products in the United States and the UK with the ingredient list. We have like 50 more ingredients in all of these foods that are directly tied to cancer.
Like the chemical preservatives is really
exactly
the thing, right? And so we talked about this a lot during the 2 days of the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, which is the high incidence of cancer in those who are under 50 and don't normally face that challenge. And so it's so interesting as science tries to figure out what is causing it. And so they're saying that it might be junk food, basically.
That's correct. And if you want to know just how enmeshed and disgusting all of our government and different organizations are, did you know that Frito-Lay is one of the top donors to the United States Diabetic Funds? That these companies that directly lead to the problems you're expected to be fighting are actually accepting money from the products that require people to get diabetes, that lead people to get diabetes.
Mm. So well, the other argument of late when it comes to the high incidence of cancer in young individuals, I think I sent this to the group the other day. People aren't going to believe it's real, but some are suggesting it's the vegan diet of all
Well, it's not healthy.
You got off that.
I have successfully beaten my vegan addiction.
But I don't ever. If we're having all these questions, like Greg did a great job during the Jimmy Fund, asking every single doctor or nurse that came on, why are we seeing so many more cases in younger people? Why isn't the FDA under a microscope?
Courtney, did you see any of those Sackler documentaries?
Yes.
Where the FDA people were all paid off, and then they were given jobs on the board of the Sackler company when they left? It is as awful and just corrupt an organization as exists in the United States. And one thing that always struck me, you would get pizza in London. And the next day, you couldn't eat it. It was hard as a rock. Mm. Nobody did the reheating of pizza. Like, things just go bad in Europe. We don't have all the preservatives and all the crap in them that we have in the United States.
Very interesting lead from you this morning, Curtis.
Thank you.
Just don't eat Oreos.
I love
Oreos.
That's
what makes America great.
All right, we will get to Courtney's lead and to Wiggy's lead and to my lead coming right up next.
It's a Tom E. Tuesday. Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston joins us every Tuesday right at high noon, and he's brought to you by Flex Car. You can save thousands with your flexible car lease at flexcar.com and by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you're hearing this, chances are you're less than 20 minutes away from the closest Awaken 180. A once-a-week lunch break, a quick stop on the way from work, minutes away from proven weekly weight loss at awaken180weightloss.com. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
Tremendous. Good afternoon, boys.
Good afternoon. We are doing tremendous as well. We're feeling like reading into Jaden Daniels last night, his performance. What, if anything, does that have to do with the Patriots and their approach with Drake May?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I wonder, look, Jaden Daniels, we understood, was a much more finished product than Drake May. We saw the season he had for LSU, and we saw Drake May in the second portion of his season finish not that great. They were a 7-4 team at North Carolina, and he didn't play well down the stretch. So we knew that Jaden Daniels was a better player, a more finished product, and more ready to play. To me, it raises the question of, would Jaden Daniels perform like this if he were in New England? Would the Patriots have taken a similar tack? I think had the Patriots, say they beat Pittsburgh, lost to Pittsburgh, lost to Denver, they had the second overall pick and took Jaden Daniels, I still think they might take a similar approach. But I think that Daniels would have pushed it more readily by now than Drake May is capable of doing. I mean, that's just my knee-jerk reaction to how it impacts the Patriots. And I also would say this. I don't think that Jaden Daniels would enjoy the same level of performance here, given the surrounding cast. How's that?
Yeah, so I guess my question would be, what do you think is the biggest difference between the Commanders' offense and the Patriots' offense? Because I think Terry McLaurin's the best receiver, but both offensive lines are bad. The rest of the skill group is bad, past their prime. To me, what stands out is the offensive coordinators. Like, I would much rather have Cliff Kingsbury working with a young quarterback than I would Alex Van Pelt. But how do you see the differences between the two teams?
Well, that's a great point by you. I think Clifford of Kingsbury's mindset and approach offensively meshes much better with Jaden Daniels than Alex Van Pelt's meshes with Drake Mays. I mean, they're trying to mold May and give him a foundation in the West Coast offense, and he's just not experienced in doing it. If Cliff Kingsbury were here, it would probably be a better fit for May initially, but is it a better fit for the team? I mean, I think that that's the way the league is going. More spread, more shotgun, more let the athlete be an athlete, make his decisions on the run and freelance. So I think that is probably the biggest difference. Certainly, I think McLaurin being a high-level receiver, but your points are good on, you know, the offensive lines being similarly bad, but I think the Patriots right now are worse than imagined because of the injuries and inexperience.
What's your understanding on the leash with Jacoby Brissett? From the outside looking in, we hear Jerod Mayo after the game on Thursday leave the door open and then slam it shut on Friday to go to Drake May. He said the reps wouldn't change at practice. Is Sunday against the Niners a last stand for Jacoby Brissett where he has to hit a certain performance level, or does he have more leash than I believe he does?
I think he has more leash. Until he becomes an impediment to them winning, I think that
Jacoby Brissett would be the starter. However, there may also come a point if it's, you know, jailbreak Sunday again and he's getting thrashed where they might give it a mercy subbing and just say, look, he can't get away from this. He can't manage to get away from this kind of a rush in order to give ourselves a better chance to win. We'll go with Jacoby Brissett. But the next team up after San Fran, of course, is Miami, which has problems of its own. So I would think that most likely we are going to see Brissett for the foreseeable future. And I just don't think he's going to get a benching for performance until he turns it over, gets strip sacked, looks panicked, makes those kinds of plays. Where so that's my...
Yeah. Where, I was just curious, you know, you're certainly not alone in the play Brissett for a while stance. And so far, the Patriots are also very much of that stance. But they did play Drake May the last series, down 21, but he gets in the game against the Jets, takes a few hits, moves the ball down the field. Is that so? Were you surprised that he even was in the game? If it seems like they're also trying to protect him.
No, I think my definition of protecting him is protecting him from looking like a boob.
Got it.
And I think that that's what should be the approach. The notion of protecting him from taking a thrashing, I just can't subscribe to. They're all NFL players. They're all going to get hit. If he gets hit, he gets hit. If he gets hurt, that's part of the deal, unfortunately. You don't want him to. You want him to, when you send him on the field, say, you know, be cautious. We're down 21. It's very little time left. You don't have a lot of protection. You know, discretion is a better part of valor here. So I think that would be the way to approach it. But I think that I strongly believe that their mindset is it's protecting him from being in a situation where he makes horrible plays and doesn't know what to do.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. You thought he made himself look like a bit of a boob. I watched you on NBC Sports Boston after the game on Thursday, Tom. You didn't like the whole waiting for Aaron Rodgers and referring to him as the GOAT. You didn't love that, right?
Yeah, I wasn't inflamed by it. I understand his mindset. Hey, you know, primetime game, the game's over, I'm going to go say hi to some friends. It was just the ear-to-ear grin walking across the field after a humiliating loss. And just being cognizant of the fact for the team entirely, not just Drake May, you don't want to become accepting of a humiliating loss on national television to the point where you just shrug it off and it's water off a duck's back. He doesn't have to go flipping buffet tables, punching his locker, sitting there on the bench in performative sadness. But I think there's in observing that in real time, and he's smiling and going to say hi to a friend and then waiting for Rodgers and ear to ear, he was just on the field at the end of a humiliating loss. And again, he's 21, have a day. I just think the team in general needs to be cognizant and not accepting of, and I think most of the players would not be, of that kind of performance.
A little more subdued.
Am I wrong?
I just don't think he probably wants it getting out around here that he thinks Aaron Rodgers is the GOAT.
Yeah, I didn't love that either.
I just think maybe keep that to yourself. And even if you love him and he's, you know, the guy you modeled your game after or whatever, fine. But I don't know if that's the best thing to be doing around here.
These guys goat everybody these days.
That's true. There are several goats, which is very confusing. It's not how it should be.
It's a herd.
Were you as surprised as I was that that Alex Van Pelt basically changed the offense and decided to feed Pop Douglas after he was kind of complaining about things in the locker room and going away from what had been a very successful running game against the team in the Jets that had been giving up big chunks of yards on the ground?
No, and I think the two things were certainly not interlinked. I mean, you went and talked to a fairly benign player in terms of his way of expressing himself, and he said, you're frustrated? Yeah, I'm frustrated, sure. He wasn't losing his mind about it. He's the best option one-on-one on the team. It was malpractice to not get him the ball in the first two games. I'm glad that they did what they did. They said that they were going to do what they did repeatedly. So I don't think it had anything to do with what Pop Douglas said on his locker, that they tried to get him the ball. And I had no problem with trying to get him the ball. I mean, you can, at some point, teams are going to say, okay, great, Ramondre Stevenson, Antonio Gibson, we're going to stop that. What else you got? So I don't blame them for trying to throw the ball, period. I just think it was a bad spot for them with the amount of inexperience on the offensive line, and the game just got away from them. My flex of the game looking back, the Patriots have to flex their defensive muscle a little bit better than they did on the second play of the Jets' first drive of the game and the second play of the second half. Second and five for the Jets. Their first drive of the game, Anthony Jennings loses contain. That allows Aaron Rodgers to scurry around the end, pick up a very easy first down. Second play of the second half, second and 11. Again, Aaron Rodgers escapes the pocket, scurries downfield, picks up yards. Gerard Mayo said, look, we have to keep him in the pocket. I don't care how old Aaron Rodgers is. If the Patriots can't play disciplined on defense, Kyle Duggar the week before, this loss of contain and the tackling this week, those are the things the Patriots really need to flex up on.
Christian Gonzalez, okay. No, that was good, Tom. Christian Gonzalez, I think, has been pretty good this year, and yet the advanced PFF stats would suggest he is one of the worst cornerbacks through 3 weeks. Where do you come down on Gonzalez's first three games?
I think it's hard for him. I think he's been good, fine, better than average. He's a better than average corner. He's had his plays where they've, you know, turned him inside out a little bit. I think, you know, the Garrett Wilson touchdown just inside the pylon, I don't blame them for trying to go for the pick on that. You know, they needed a play. They're at the one. They're probably going to score anyway. I liked his aggressiveness on that. I'm a Christian Gonzalez fan. I stand Christian Gonzalez.
Okay, that's a big flex by Tommy Curran there at the end. Christian Gonzalez, friend of the show. Tommy Curran every Tuesday here at High Noon on a Tom E. Tuesday. You can check him out all over NBC Sports Boston. Quick Slants tonight, WEEI afternoons on Thursday at 3:30. Tommy Curran, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
You got it. We'll have Scar on Quick Slants tonight, too, so maybe we can get some offensive line diagnosis from him.
Ooh, nice. And then you can pass it along to the team. Nice.
Yeah, seriously.
I like that. You can be the middleman. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
The 4 o'clock hour. I want to say thanks again to Adam Schefter for joining us in that last segment. If you missed any of it, you can find it all on the Odyssey app or at WEEI.com. That's Christian Arcand. It's Andy Hart. And that was Gerard Mayo you just heard talking about the other rookie QB, something we just discussed with Schefter, who was very steadfast in the idea that none of that's going to matter to the Patriots. And maybe to Gerard Mayo and Alex Van Pelt and those guys, it doesn't. But I do wonder if the Crafts are watching these rookie quarterbacks going to ball out in week three. And I know it took till week three for any of them to look good, but still, I mean, it's still very early in the season. And I wonder if they're looking at that and thinking, you know, that's buzz. That's excited fan bases right there. That, not all. I mean, Chicago's still got what they got going on there. But in Washington, they're doing backflips right now. In Denver, there's a bunch of yahoos out there in Denver. Of course, they love whoever the quarterback is. They're happy about Bo Nix right now. Like, that's something that you're not seeing necessarily in New England yet.
You just made me think of something in a slightly different way. Because okay. I feel like we've kind of really inside-outed the Drake May thing.
Totally.
From all angles.
Mm-hmm.
Except for one. You just used the phrase, ball out. We know for certain, even if the Patriots win games, Jacoby Brissett is not balling out. Right? Like, the totality of his career, his skills, it's just, it ain't happening.
Him balling out would be like 180 yards and two touchdowns.
Right.
Like, that would be, I'd be like, wow, he balled out in that game.
And
like,
it's funny you said it that way. Does balling out matter at some point? And I mean, the season.
If you're losing,
you're
yes.
losing,
if
and you're going down a
yes.
certain road, are the Crafts not just looking for, wow, the guy who gives us the best chance to win? No.
They're looking for
I
a
want
show.
Somebody to ball out.
Sell some
I
tickets.
Want somebody that the fans are going to jump up and down about. I want somebody that the radio is going to be talking about in a positive way and excited about, or that he's doing a post-game interview with Lisa Salters with a big smile on his face because he just had, you know, great numbers, or mm-hmm. you know, that famous Jonathan thing. Oh, the fantasy stats are going to be awesome today for whatever that was from that documentary. Right. If you're looking for somebody to ball out, and whoever you are, ownership, fans, you're ready for Drake May, correct? Because you know there's no balling out with
yeah.
Jacoby. For all his strengths,
right.
he is never going to ball out.
Yeah, even, well, I guess there's like the possibility
not that he balls out, but that he's the quarter. Like, Hunter Henry had a good game. He kind of balled out in that Seattle game, right? 100-plus receiving yards. That's a great game for Hunter Henry.
It's a great game for Hunter Henry. I don't know if it's balling out for the offense.
Maybe not for the offense.
People are like, you kind of rolled out and kind of flipped it to Hunter Henry 7 times for 12 yards each time.
Sure, but if he had, like, a touchdown or a couple touchdowns, then you'd say, wow, look at that line. He really balled out in that game. They lost, but fine. I'm just saying, like,
is your 30-something tight end catching a couple touchdowns?
No, but what
like
if,
people want.
What if Jalen Polk does that?
We just saw Jaden Daniels.
What if Javon Baker does
50
that?
Yards to Terry McLaurin and then throw another bomb to Terry McLaurin to win a game? Like that's balling out.
Yes,
right.
Agreed. That
so if you're looking,
that was one of the best games ever that any quarterback's ever had.
Right, and I'm not saying that has to be that, but if you're looking for deep balls, balling out, whatever. That's an interesting cut right there, the way I put that.
Yes. Yes, it is.
If you're looking for that sort of superficial, flashy, sexy offense passing game thing, then it's Drake May. It's just got to be Drake May. And I wonder if at some point that matters to anybody. Anybody. Even if you're looking for, you know, the old Mick Foley cheap pop, like it's great to be back at Gillette Stadium and everybody cheers.
Mick Foley, the wrestler.
Yes.
Mankind. I remember Mankind.
Well, if you're looking for a cheap pop, it's Drake May.
What
like
else
somewhere along the line.
Cactus Jack.
Cactus
too, right?
Jack, yeah. Mankind, and who was the Dude Love?
I don't know Dude Love. I remember Cactus Jack and Mankind.
Dude Love
sure.
had like a tie-dye shirt, and he had Socko that he would jam down people's head, throat.
I thought Mankind was Socko.
Oh, I thought Dude
Mankind
Love was
had, had the sock.
Oh.
Right?
Okay,
he'd
maybe.
Pull out the sock. Yeah, I remember.
And then there were times where I think he like changed characters mid-match or something.
Really?
From, like, from Dude Love to Mankind, Cactus Jack, that whole thing. I don't know.
That's about when I like stopped watching wrestling. Was, like, the
pop,
rise of Mankind.
You veered in a different. I was just bringing up cheap pops. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for a cheap pop at some point, even if you're Gerard Mayer, like, yeah, we could use a little excitement, getting a little warm around here. It's always going to be Drake May. And I just wonder at what point does that factor into any sort of decision? Because right now they're fixated on what? We mocked it a little bit. Gives us the best chance to win.
Yep.
And that may or may not be true. We can debate that. But he doesn't give you the best chance at cheap pop or
true.
Entertainment or balling out or whatever phrase you want to use. You're looking for deep balls, balling out.
Then call us here at WEEI Afternoons.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. 617-779-7937. I can tell you who is discussing that very topic, and that is Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler, our good friend Adam Schefter's co-workers over at ESPN, had a piece up today, or maybe it was yesterday, NFL Week 4, latest buzz, predictions, questions, and fantasy tips. And the first topic is, what are you hearing on who could be the next quarterback to get benched? Graziano talks about Malik Willis because Jordan Love, like, is going to be coming back soon. Gardner Minshew, who got benched in that last game. Aiden O'Connell came in and was okay, I guess. There was some more talk of that between the two of them. And then Jeremy Fowler says, I'm going to go with New England. The Drake May chatter only mushrooms from here, and the sense I got all offseason was that Jacoby Brissett would be the starter but might need to win enough games to keep the job. That's an interesting way of phrasing that, I think.
Will Juwan Bentley be coming back soon, Jeremy?
Juwan Bentley.
Remember that report?
Oh, yeah, right.
He reported he will play on Thursday night, and then
and it,
like 5 minutes
very
later,
optimistic about that, yes.
He was out for the year, according to Crapsheet.
Then so. Rapsheet dropped the bomb on him there, which I still think was the Patriots trying to flush out a rat. I don't know if they did or not, but that's what that seemed like to me. Jacoby Brissett would be the starter, but might need to win enough games to keep the job. Jacoby Brissett's on like a win loss basis? Like, is that what the thing is? Because I don't think so. Like, that's. That it was never explained that way. It was never explained by Gerard Mayo that way, as in, like, we're going to need Brissett to win a bunch of games, otherwise we're going to have to make a change at quarterback. He's never presented it that way.
No,
maybe that's what they're saying behind the scenes.
But he did say gives us the best chance to win, so he's bringing winning into the equation.
True, yeah.
Now, I flipped that on its ear, and I tend to think it's the best chance to not get blown out, the best chance to avoid losing, that kind of thing. But this is where these blend together, and if there's, you know, at some point, we've got to be able to throw the ball down the field kind of mentality. Well, that could be a time for a transition. Now, I continue to say I think this is going to take care of itself, and I don't wish injury on anybody. And he said it again today. He keeps going with, I get up. I just get up. I always get up. I hope that is true. I hope
and you're
you
never
always
keep
get
him
up.
Down, he also says.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
He also drinks some whiskey drink.
He does not. I don't think that is
That he drinks the vodka.
Actually, he had a long weekend, so who knows what he did this
weekend. He drinks the cider drink.
He probably did.
I forget what the last one is, but that's what they do in the song anyway.
One bourbon. Is there a bourbon in there somewhere?
That's the whiskey drink, I think.
Oh.
Drink the whiskey drink, I drink the vodka drink, I drink the cider drink, I drink the lager drink. The lager drink is the
I like one. A good lager.
Yeah, who doesn't?
You should probably go to calls.
617-779-7937. If you have any thoughts on Mankind or Chumbawamba, you can discuss them here.
Knocked out.
Brendan is in Chicopee. Go ahead, Brendan.
Hey guys, I'm just.
Hey Brendan, that's enough. Go ahead.
I was just wondering. I just feel like I'm being set up all year to watch Jacoby, and they're going to sit Drake. And what would happen if they had the number one pick, and there's Arch Manning or one of the top quarterbacks, and they don't take one, and they don't know what they have in Drake May, and then he's a bust. If they don't see what they have this year, and they're going to have a high pick next year, I feel like they're really screwing themselves.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible if you think Drake May is the wrong pick. Now, I know you don't. I know most people around here think that Drake May was exactly who they should have gotten, and he's got the best tools, and he's going to be a big, strong mobile quarterback like Josh Allen.
Thank God he fell to them at three.
You think he's going to be? I remember the reactions here. Chris Scheim and you guys were all belly bopping in the studio after they made that
draft
pick.
Why shouldn't we be?
You were very excited about it.
Get the best quarterback in the draft.
I'm just surprised you didn't have a more negative reaction to the caller there, because he's saying if May's not the right guy and there's other quarterbacks coming out next year, which is a thing that I was on early on because I didn't love these quarterbacks, then did you maybe make the wrong call going to May when you could have gone to Carson Beck or Shador or Arch Manning or whoever the hell else in the years to come?
No, because I thought May was a multi-year type top five pick quarterback, not just, this draft is bad.
He'll be good away, yeah.
Like, I thought he is a special talent. I think he is a unique special talent. It may not work out. Just like it may not work out I'm pretty sure it won't work out with Shador because I have no faith in him. Arch Manning is staying. By all accounts, he's staying 4 years at Texas. That was the story making the rounds this weekend. Beck?
Well, that was before. I mean,
I don't love Beck.
Yeah, Beck, I was just thinking of QBs not really out there.
I know. And so, you're kind of whittling. I'm not a Ewers guy. I'm not a Quinn Ewers guy. So you're kind of whittling down the pool of quarterbacks for this year, which a lot of people were doing last year. They were taking that into account, that it may not be because Caleb Williams was a generational type talent,
right,
supposedly. And Jaden Daniels came, this was seen as a deep quality quarterback class with multi-year prospect Drake May in the middle of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of why I wanted him. Now, I think the caller's also alluding to, though, how much time do you need before you can decide whether you hit or missed on Drake May? He needs to play so you can try to make a decision that you hit or you missed if you wanted to do the Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray thing and go back into the draft, or you could end up what the Carolina Panthers are. Adam Schefter told us last week he's done in Carolina. He's not. It's over there. So they went two games too far, because couldn't they have looked into getting a quarterback this year?
They could have, yeah.
Six quarterbacks go in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
They could be like, we need to go get one of those. Because they didn't have a first-round pick, right? Because they traded it for him.
Right.
So they would have had to trade up into the first round. But whatever. If you need a quarterback, you find a way to go get a quarterback.
It. Yeah, you go and do it.
So how many games do you need so you don't become the Panthers and screw that up and don't realize till next September, October that Drake May stinks?
I don't think that they're...
The New England Patriots select Drake May.
Let's go!
North Carolina.
Got him!
Got a quarterback, baby.
And then everybody just stripped naked right here in the studio.
You see?
It was quite a moment. But yeah, I think that, you don't want to do it. And I think that this group, I mean, this is their first draft. This is Elliott Wolf's first draft pick.
Yep.
They're not going to just give up on him. Even if he does go out there and not play well, they're not going to give up on him. That would reflect poorly on them. I think that's something. It's kind of the same thing with Kraft and Gerard Mayo. You know, you're moving on from Bill. You're starting over, basically, with a whole new direction in the organization, and Drake May's a big part of that. They're not just going to give up on him after 1 year. Even if he plays starting now for the rest of the season and sucks, they're not going to do that.
And that was one of the working theories on why you don't play him, because if you don't play him, there's that doubt that, you just developed him and he's going to be Mahomes. He's going to be great in year two.
Right.
If you play him and he stinks, you've exposed yourself. You've shown your hand, and that in terms of job security for them and looking smarter longer rather than dumber sooner, you don't play him. You slow play it. Now, I think that's a terrible idea. I think they like him. I think Elliott Wolf likes him. I think Alex Van Pelt likes him. Now, they may not like him to play this week or next week. They may still think he's raw. They may whatever. But I think they still believe. Have you heard any, there's been organizational remorse or whatever for the pick of Drake May? You haven't heard any whispers, right? And I feel like,
but it's because he hasn't played yet.
If he wasn't playing, because don't you think we might start to hear whispers of, You should see.
He's not
practice.
Getting it in practice.
He stinks.
He's getting all these snaps
oh,
and it's not
God,
working.
It's
out.
Not
yeah.
working.
You
like,
can see that.
That has happened quickly before in a lot of places with players. So
yeah, and he looked good enough in the preseason. You know,
yes.
he looked like he was.
The
ready.
Head coach said he was the better player.
I mean, so did Mac Jones. Mac Jones looked pretty good in the preseason too.
Yeah, but we didn't know that in the core he was soft. He was
true.
Goo.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. We will return with the expectations for this week. And if Jacoby Brissett is going to be the quarterback, how much success do you want him to have against these 49ers, who I think the Patriots can beat? We'll get to that right after Brian tells you what's trending.
Hey family, this is Yuki Washington from CBS News Philadelphia. In our newsroom, the mission is clear. Make our communities better places to live. And with our innovative and immersive Next Weather virtual studio, we keep you and your family prepared and protected. If it's local to you, it's local to us. CBS News Philadelphia, finding heart in every beat.